Take your book, your Bible, and let's go to Colossians chapter 2. We're working our way through the book of Colossians. Christ, the head of the church, he is supreme. He is the ruler of the church, and that we're focusing on Jesus. If you ever wondered why pastors preach through different books, because I want us to focus on Jesus, you know. And we're looking at today fighting heresy. There were several heresies in the book at Colossae, in the church at Colossae. And we still have them with us today. They're still prevalent. You may recognize some of them as I mentioned them this morning. But the false teachers were teaching the church that a deep secret knowledge was needful for having salvation. It's called Gnosticism. And so Christ's atoning work was not sufficient for salvation. They were teaching Christ plus and Christ and, not Christ alone, right? So, in beginning in chapter 2, verse 8 through 23, Paul exposes what is called by theologians the Colossian heresy. And it came in many forms. We looked at, a few weeks ago, false psychology. We're going to be looking at legalism, mysticism, and asceticism, all of which that we have with us today. You say, Pastor, I don't know what those mean. Well, I'll tell you as we go through. Church leaders, if they're going to do their job, they're going to teach the people true doctrine from false doctrine. They're going to expose those that hate the church and come in and try to refute what is called biblical theology. And one that has happened at Colossae was that Christ was not absolute sufficiently to save us for salvation and sanctification. So let's begin reading in verse 16, if you will, of chapter 2. You may be seated. I won't ask you to stand. Paul says, now what we're talking about is fighting heresy. Verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink in respect to a holy day, or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility of worshiping angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Verse 19. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministereth and knitted together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not. You got to remember, these legalists thought that you can gain Christ and gain spirituality by making your own rules and regulations, and handle not. Verse 22, but all are to perish with the using after the commandments and the doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting the body and in any honor of the satisfying of the flesh. Father, I pray you teach us from your word today. We cannot understand it outside of the indwelling Holy Spirit that gives us illumination in our mind as we learn and teach the Bible. So Father, teach us to recognize these heresies in our day and be ready to contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen. So the first one I want to share with you, it's still with us today. It's called legalism. You'll see it in verses 16 and 17. A legalist can be defined as a religion of human achievement. See, there's only two ways that people are trying to get to heaven. Some are trying to go by human achievement. Some are going by divine achievement, by the work of Christ on the cross. A man-made attempt to gain salvation or spiritual growth by Christ plus works. And we have those legalists with us today that are putting their people in bondage. And they're prevalent all around us. In other words, the pastor comes up with his own rules and regulations for how you gain spirituality and leaves the scriptures. We know we gain Christ by grace through faith, right, in Christ alone. And then they come up with man-made rules and regulations. If you're going to be spiritual, you're going to have to be like me. And so it's called legalism. Now, we've already seen that the believers are complete in Christ. We saw that last week. We don't need man-made rules and standards, but obedience to the truth of Scripture. That's it, the truth of Scripture. It's not what a pastor or a teacher comes up with, their own rules and regulations. It is the scripture. It's objective, not subjective. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." No one needs to judge us in these man-made rules by anything else other than the scripture. It is what the scripture says, not what some legalist tries to set up as a way to be saved or a way to, let me give you a case in point. We got a church here in Thomas County that says, well, if you're going to be saved, you got to turn your paycheck over to us, your W-2 form, and we'll take the tithe out of that. You know, that's legalism, right? Nobody's getting my paycheck but my wife, right? And so no one needs to judge us in these matters. The false teachers were telling the Colossians that Christ was not enough. They needed to observe the ceremonial law. Well, the ceremonial law was for the nation of Israel. We don't observe the dietary law. That was for the nation of Israel. We observe the moral law, right? Now, so they had it all wrong here. Food and drink. Notice that in verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink. In other words, if you want to eat pork, right? God made it all clean, right? And what you eat, right? Verse 16. In respect to a holy day, as speaking of the seven festivals the nation of Israel observed, pointing to Christ and his work on the cross. And one deserves one, and one deserves another. You know, don't let nobody judge you in those matters is what he says. He says, our new moon or the Sabbath days. Somebody comes up and tells me we have to start worshiping on the Sabbath if we're going to go to heaven. And I got a good defense for him about why we worship on Sunday. So let no one judge you about these matters is what he says here. And then in verse 17, these were all shadows pointing to Christ, who is the substance. And that's what's happening today. People are worshiping the shadows that point to the substance, Jesus Christ. And they think they got to worship Christ and the shadows as well. But it doesn't go that way. Someone said that a shadow is not reality. The reality makes the shadow. And this is how we know we're living in the last days. We see a woman in travail in Matthew 24. All the signs coming up to the second coming of Christ in Matthew 24, and their shadows, we see them today, and after the church is taken out, they're going to be even more frequent, more intense, right? So we know we're getting close to the return of the Lord for the church because we see the shadows in the church age, right? Amen, hallelujah, right? At any moment, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that. It might be this morning. I can't remember where it was. It might be tonight. But he says, you know, stay away from these legalists. True spirituality does not consist merely of keeping external rules, but an inner relationship with God through his Son. Then secondly, we must expose the false teaching of mysticism. Now this is with us today again. Look in verses 18 and 19 again. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding on those things which he have not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind. Notice that. And holding the head from which the body by joints and bands having nourishment, ministereth and knit together, increased with the increase of God. What is mysticism? Verse 18. We defined what legalism was, but what is mysticism? Mysticism can be defined as the pursuit of a deeper or higher subjective experience. And we have many doing that today. They look for truth internally, subjective. If it feels good, it must be okay. And they go by external sensations. Mysticism is leaving the Bible and depending on an experience, okay? And we got plenty like that today. I don't have to name them, mainly in the prosperity gospel and the charismatic movement, where experience trumps scripture. Pastor, I don't care what the Bible says. I know what I've seen. I know what I heard. I know what I felt. Well, if what you've seen and what you haven't, what you heard and felt is not in the scriptures, then you have fallen prey to mysticism, okay? Scripture is not the authority of one man's experience. In other words, anything goes. I claim to have this happen to me, or this happened to me, or I saw this. The next thing you know, the rest of the people saying, got to trump that. So I hope Trump don't mind me using his name, but You've got to trump that, so you say, this happened to me, and this happened to me. And everybody leaves the Word of God, right? And that don't happen that way. They say that you weren't saved or growing if you did not have some mystical experience. There's a whole group of people today that says, we did not get saved if we didn't have some kind of manifestation after we got saved. I know what one manifestation I had, that's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, amen? And He indwelt me. It's okay to say, I'm back off of vocation. It's okay to say amen, okay? All right? So they defraud themselves of the Spirit and the Scriptures, and everything becomes subjective. You know what I mean by subjective and objective? A subjective is, well, I feel this is okay. Well, I feel like I should do this. I feel like I should do that. Objective is, what does the Word of God say, right? And that's how we worship and how we serve. But everybody's looking for a mystical experience. The Bible says to disguise their pride and their false humility and worship angels. Now, worshiping angels is a part of mysticism, okay? Church has always done that, still doing that. Well, what's wrong with this kind of worship? What's wrong with worshiping angels? Well, number one, there's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus, right? If you worship anything other than Jesus, you have a false religion, right? If you're depending on anything else to get you to heaven other than, you know, even an angel, then you're on your way to hell, right? We don't worship angels. Number two, why don't we worship angels? Because we are called to worship God alone. We see that in the book of Revelation. And number three, angels themselves worship God. So why would we want to worship anything that has to worship God, right? So we worship God directly. These mystics also claim to have visions. Now, this is prevalent in the charismatic movement. Visions that don't line up with the Word of God. These visions are a source of new revelation outside the closed canon of Scripture. I don't care what the Word of God says. This is what I saw. This is what I felt, right? And y'all know, I've been here 19 years. It is always Scripture over experience, right? I don't claim what you claim to have seen. If it's not in the Word of God, you've been dealt a hand by Satan himself, right? So we are not to be intimidated by these false experiences because they come from fleshly minds, void of the Spirit. I didn't say it. That's what the Scripture says. There's a tendency in human nature to move from the objectivity of Scripture to the subjectivity of experience, right? How many times have you done that? You say, well, I know this is objective truth, but I feel like, right? I feel like, right? It's not your feelings. It's what does the Word of God say? So we must stay away from man-made rules and not be intimidated by those who lead the Word as the means of knowing Christ through His Word. But also, thirdly, we must expose the false teaching of asceticism. Now, what in the world is that? Look in verse 20 through 23. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, see, when you died in Christ, you are dead to the world, right? And he says, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to its ordinances? We have a higher authority, right? The Lord, right? Touch not, taste not, handle not. You ever notice that? That was Satan's argument with Eve in the Garden of Eden. You can't touch it. You can't handle it. You can't taste it. The day you do, God knows you're going to be like Him, right? Do you realize that Adam and Eve, they were in a state of innocence? They didn't know they were naked until they sinned. And then an awareness of their sin showed them their nakedness, right? I think of that little funny commercial with the Geico, Gecko, whatever. He goes to this beach and it says clothing is optional. Right? He looks at himself, you know, and all that. I found it kind of funny. But we have the world today, see? Until Adam and Eve sinned, they did not know that they were naked, you know? And don't let anybody use that for nude beaches today. Say, well, Adam and Eve were naked. Well, they don't know their Bible, right? They don't know what happened and what was the cause of it, right? And it's amazing how dumb people are that think they know the Bible, right? But asceticism is one who lives a life of rigorous self-denial. They attempt to gain righteousness by self-denial. I'm going to starve myself here. I'm going to deny myself here. And by that, it's kind of like the monks. Remember the monks? And they went up and they separated themselves from the world. People who are guilty of asceticism isolate themselves from the world. Well, what did Jesus say? You're in the world, but not of the world, right? And we are to go back into the world. God called us out of the world, and now he's called us to go back into the world, the gospel. Now, it is one thing to deny self and follow Christ, or to go to the extremes thinking they can gain spirituality. Right? You can't gain spirituality by denying yourself certain things. Now, he does tell us, deny self, take up your cross daily, and follow him. But that is a whole new ballgame in those two scriptures here. In verse 22 and 23, we're talking about how to handle these false heresies that are still in the church today. And I can name churches and I can name you people that practice this. This asceticism, this kind of self-denial is useless because things you deprive yourself of will one day likewise perish, right? In an attempt to be more holy, they were really gratifying the flesh rather than the spirit. Spiritual growth comes from the spirit, not the flesh. Somebody say it with me. Spiritual growth comes from the spirit. Somebody say it with me. Spiritual, if y'all don't respond, I'm going to forget what I asked you to do, right? Spiritual growth comes from the spirit and not the flesh. God is not pleased with the flesh, right? At all. Well, we read it while ago in Proverbs chapter 6. It doesn't please God to do those things. We must expose and refute these teachings and hold fast to Christ. This is what Paul is telling us. In whom we are complete in him, right? How many of you have Christ? Say amen. You are complete. There's nothing else you need for salvation or sanctification. Do you know that? Everything you have is in you, the Holy Spirit, and everything you have is in the Bible, right? Don't go looking around for something more because you got all there is to get. And by the way, I was looking at Tina there. If you want to learn a lot about theology, just read her quotes on Facebook, right? Tina, they're good. I like that. I don't like I don't click on every one of them, all right? I don't do that. If I don't click on yours, like on yours, don't mean I'm offended by you. Just I don't click on all everything, right? I'm not one of those that randomly go down Facebook, click, 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 click. You know, I don't do that. But I appreciate your spiritual growth. Now, you come back tonight here, all right? Everybody I brag on leaves. So I don't know how to keep you here other than to start talking bad about you or something, though, you know? But we learned this morning that this will enable us to live above this life. He's getting up to this. Now, in a few weeks, he's going to talk about this, how to live above this world, okay? And he's setting us up for that because these things that a lot of people worship are not true, and they're going to send them to hell, right? Now, so we learned this morning the preparatory message coming up about how to live above this world. So salvation is in Christ. It's not in any of these legalism. It's not in mysticism. It's not in asceticism. It's not in false philosophy, as we looked at last week. It's not Christ and Christ also. It's Christ alone, right, is how we go to heaven. Amen? So that's how you go. If there's anybody here this morning that are depending, you're depending on anything other than the gospel, you're depending on anything other than the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, you are being led astray. When you have Christ, you have everything, right? There are no second-class Christians, right? We got everything we need, and Christ gave it all to every one of us. You didn't get more of something than I did, and I didn't get more of something than you did. Now, he's given us different gifts, yes, but he's given us 100% of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that there's people running around saying, Lord, give me more of your spirit? They don't know their Bible. He's already given you the spirit. You need to give him more of your body, right? That's it. If anybody needs to give more, it's us. That's one reason why we serve the Lord, one reason why we come to church, one reason why we're faithful. Because this is the only institution that Christ died for, right? He poured his life out into the church. So why do we pour our life out into other things, right? Father, as our people stand this morning and our musicians come, thank you, Father, for your word that separates truth from error. The word rightly divided. So many voices out there today. I pray especially for the younger generation. They got more voices bidding for their attention than we had growing up. And Lord, help them. Give them discernment to listen to the right voice. And that is of the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. When we get Christ, we're complete, but also we have full wisdom. Because he is wisdom. If anybody here this morning hasn't done that, then they need to do it today. Because as this world gets worse, and as we move toward globalism, and as we move to a one world government and one world church, as we'll talk about tonight, we need to understand who it is we believe in. We need to understand why we believe in him. Because it's going to be so easy with the pressures of the world to compromise. Help us to be transformers and not conformers. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.